Yeah. 弟兄姐妹早上好。
Brother, sister, good morning.
Yeah, 今天我们继续采用这种 Zoom 的方式来敬拜。
We continue to use the Zoom to worship.
那今天呢，我们准备开始这个讲到一个新的系列。
We're going to start a new series, this morning.
那么我们一起来研读在旧约里的一卷书叫路德记。
And we're going to study the Old Testament is a book of Ruth.
那我们今天正道的题目呢就叫拿俄米的不幸。
The sermon title is called Naomi's Misfortune.
那这场新冠病毒的瘟疫给世界各国都带来了巨大的冲击。
The coronavirus, the pandemic has brought the huge impact to all the countries.
那么遭受苦难的家庭啊，也是数以百万计。
There are a few millions of people have been impacted.
那么美国的疫情啊，在全球是最严重的。
United States has the worst pandemic.
于是呢，就引发了一场争论，说这到底是谁的过错。
So it started that argument, whose fault it is.
那 CNN 等一些左派的媒体呢，就来指责总统跟政府啊，对应对措施不得力。
So like CNN, some of the left-wing media that accused the president and the government that were not started the this response effectively.
那共和党则认为呢，是因为民主党在去年年底发起了这场罢免总统的闹剧，耽误了这个宝贵的时间。
But Republicans thought it was a Democrats' fault who initiated the impeachment toward President Trump and so caused the delay.
所以我们也看到，在政府部门也陆陆续续的新闻媒体有一些推卸责任的说法。
So in the government and also a lot of media is talking about shifting the blames.
那我们可能是埋怨前总统奥巴马政府没有这样的预备。
And so we blame the former president Obama that were not prepared a pandemic.
那也有人指责因为中国处理这个疫情的透明度不够。
And also the people accused China was not transparent enough.
那也有呢，归咎于这个世界卫生组织在处理这个事情也是办事不得力。
And also accuse the WHO handle the situation not effectively.
所以这种互相推卸责任的这个怪圈呢是环环相扣。
So those are interlocking blaming that is very obvious.
一时间搞的是鸡飞狗跳。
So you become very chaotic.
那对于这种甩锅，所谓推卸责任的做法。
And so for those are called the shifting the blame.
那其实我们一点也不陌生哈。
It's not foreign to us.
那么当亚当犯罪之后，我们就看到这种推卸责任已经开始了。
After Adam committed sin, we noticed that shifting blame already started.
那其实亚当呢，把责任推给夏娃。
First of all, Adam shift the blame to Eve.
那么夏娃又把责任推卸给蛇。
And Eve blamed the serpent.
只是最后大家一块把责任推卸给上帝。
They all blame God.
你创造的这个女人是怎么样？你把那个树放在那个园子里面等等。
And they blame that you have created a human, and also you have there's a garden, the trees there.
但是其实面对这种全球性的这种瘟疫的危机啊，这种互相推卸的这个方法是不能解决我们目前所面临的问题。
So we're facing the pandemic and we're just blaming it's not going to resolve the problem.
但是面对困难的时候，人们常常会想起说，这个到底是谁的错？
And so when we're facing the suffering, it's very easy for us to blame, shifting the blame.
因为在苦难当中，人们去试图去寻找答案。
Because we are often trying to find answer, in the suffering.
或者说我们难以面对这个事情所带来的严重后果。
It's hard for us to facing the consequence of the suffering.
这个是我的错吗？
So we ask, is this my fault?
为什么这种事情会临到我？
Why does this happen to me?
是不是我们得罪了神？
What did I, have I offended the Lord?
是上帝惩罚我们，还是上帝抛弃我们？
Maybe God has the, give me up.War is a punishment.
所以处在苦难中的人啊，难免有这样的怀疑。
So during the suffering, very often we have the doubt.
所以有一次我去一个教会讲到有关苦难的信息之后，有一个弟兄就来找我。
One time I went to a church, to talk about, share the suffering message, and one brother came to me.
因为他身体有很多的问题。
Because he has a health issue.
于是就面对困难说，是不是因为我得罪了神，为什么我会有这些身体上的问题？
Why? Because of my illness. Is that because I have offended the Lord?
那么他听到这个苦难的信息之后，他觉得有一些释放。
And so after he listened to the sermon, then he feel more relieved.
因为很多的时候苦难我们是很难找到一个真正的原因的。
And very often during the suffering, it's very hard to find the answer.
所以如果认为说苦难临到了我们就是因为神在惩罚我们的话。
Well, because the suffering came to us, is that because the Lord is punishing us?
所以这种说法呀在神学校叫天启神学天谴神学。
Often we call this the retribution theology.
那么其实在任何的时候我们人去反省我们自己看看我们有没有得罪神的地方这个都是有好处的。
Very often during the crisis or the suffering it's good for us to reflect ourselves.
至于每每遇到难处才想起说哎呦这个是不是上帝惩罚我这个就值得商榷了。
So, but if we only think about, the Lord is punishing us, during the crisis, that might not be most, effective.
追根到底呢，要为我们苦难承担责任的，大概不外乎就三种情况。
If we want to dig to the roots, there are usually three possibilities.
一个呢，是我们自己的错。
The first is because we were wrong.
另外一个是他人的错。
Well, other people's fault.
那最后呢，我们把责任推到这是上帝的错。
Or maybe it's a God's fault.
那大家知道前一阵子有这个同性恋这个问题的争论在美国非常的激烈哈。
So there's a very heated discussion about homosexuality.
那么当时很多人就声称说同性恋啊，有证据表明说是基因的问题。
And very often people talk about there's evidence is a genes issue.
那是基因的问题呢就是上帝没有造好。
If it's genes issue, it's God's fault.
所以为什么会有同性恋的倾向呢这个是上帝的错。
If you have a homosexual, preference, it's God's fault.
所以这是人们常用的一种逻辑啊。
And this is the logic we love to use.
那么如果我们不合理的把这个问题的责任推到别人的身上
If we unreasonably try to blame other people
那个就是我们在寻找替罪羊哈
And they were looking for scapegoat
如果我们自己有错来悔改这是好事情倒是
But if it's our own fault we're willing to correct it that will be the best
但是如果这个本来不是属于我们的责任我们把这个事情归在自己的身上。
But if the fault is not ours, but we bear that responsibility.
那么我们就陷入那种难以自拔的那个泥潭里面。
We'll fall into a mud that is very hard to pull out.
那么人类遇到苦难，像我们现在遇到这个瘟疫，难道是上帝的错吗？
So when we have a pandemic, it is God's fault.
上帝为什么允许苦难临到我们
？Why God allow the suffering to come to us？
他是否应该对我们遭受苦难负责呢？
Should he be responsible for our suffering?
这是每个遇到苦难的人都会发出这样的疑问。
And everyone who has gone through the suffering asks the same question.
没有人愿意经历苦难。
Nobody likes to experience suffering.
但是苦难是现实生活中不可缺少的一部分。
However, the suffering is part of our life.
所以今天我们就一起来思考路德记的时候，我们首先来看拿俄米的苦难。
So let's really study the Naomi's misfortune.
那么我们通过拿俄米的苦难来思考说我们应该怎么样去面对它。
So her suffering, then how can we face the suffering?
路德记啊是旧约中啊非常短小的一卷书，只有四章哈。
The book of Ruth is a very, very short book in the Old Testament. It's only four chapters.
那虽然是一个很短的故事，但是却是非常优美的。
Although it's a very short story, but it's a very beautiful story.
如果你有圣经的话，请你打开旧约圣经《路德记》哈，我们来看第一章今天。
If you have a Bible, please open your Bible, turn to Book of Ruth, chapter 1.
那我来读路德记的第一章第一节到第六节，还有第十九节到二十二节。
Okay, the Pastor Chen is going to read verse 1 to 6 and 19 to 22.
那么我来读中文，比安卡会来读英文。
And Pastor Chen will read Chinese, I will read in English.
请大家打开路德记第一章，我们一起来看这一卷书哈。
Let's turn to Ruth chapter 1.
当事实秉政的时候，国中遭遇饥荒，在犹大伯利恒有一个人带着妻子和两个儿子往摩亚地去寄居。
Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, and there was a famine in the land.And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to the drought in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons.
这人名叫以利米勒，他的妻名叫拿俄米，他两个儿子，一个名叫马伦，一个名叫基连，都是犹大伯利恒的以法他人。他们到了摩亚地，就住在那里。
The name of the man was Elimelechi. The name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to the country of Moab and remained there.
后来，拿俄米的丈夫以利米勒死了，剩下妇人和他的两个儿子。
The Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons.
这两个儿子娶了摩亚女子为妻，一个叫俄尔巴，一个叫路德，在那里住了约有十年。
Now they took wife the woman of the Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other is Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years.
马伦和基连二人也死了，剩下拿俄米没有丈夫，也没有儿子。
Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so the woman survived her two sons and her husband.
她就与两个儿媳起身，要从摩亚地归回，因为她在摩亚地听见耶和华眷顾自己的百姓，赐粮食与他们。
Then she arose with her daughter-in-laws that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard the country of Moab that the Lord had visited.His people by giving them bread.
第十九节，于是二人同行来到伯利恒。他们到了伯利恒，合城的人就都惊讶。妇女说：“这是拿俄米吗？”
Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. It happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them.And the women said, Is this Naomi?
拿俄米对他们说，不要叫我拿俄米。拿俄米翻出来就是甜的意思。要叫我马拉， 就是马拉就是苦的意思。
But she said to them, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me.
第二十一节，我满满的出去，耶和华使我空空的回来。耶和华降祸于我，全能者使我受苦。既是这样，你们为何还要叫我拿俄米呢？
I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi? Since the Lord has testified against me, and Almighty has afflicted me.
二十二节，拿俄米和他儿媳摩亚女子路德从摩亚地回来，到伯利恒，正是动手割大麦的时候。
So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabites, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of a barley harvest.
所以这故事短短的几节经文就一下子把我们带到了这个故事的一个中心。
So this is a very short story brought us to the center of the story.
这起因呢乃是因为一场饥荒而开始的。
It started with a famine.
伯利恒这个城市的名字实际上翻出来它的意思是粮仓。
The Bethlehem, the original meaning is a house of bread.
所以说这个地方应该是非常富庶的。
So therefore, the place should be very, very wealthy.
那么这个地方发生饥荒到一种严重的程度，这一家人呢，必须要离开。
And but the famine was so severe, so the whole family had to leave Bethlehem.
所以我们就知道这饥荒是相当严重的。
So we know the famine was extremely severe.
所以以利米勒和拿俄米一家就不得不背井离乡了。以便摆脱这个饥荒给他们带来的危害。
So the whole family have to leave their hometown to get rid of the famine.
那么他们好不容易在摩亚这个地方安居下来。
So they finally settled in Moab.
但是拿俄米的丈夫去世了。
However, her husband passed away.
那么他有两个儿子相依为命，又为两个儿子陆续的娶了媳妇，似乎他们可以安顿下来了。
So her two sons have married and married Moab women, and so they thought they were settling down.
但是却不晓得有更大的灾难临到他们。
Without knowing there's a bigger disaster is going upon them.
所以他的两个儿子也相继的去世。
And her two sons also passed away.
所以家屋难丁，举目无亲，他们在异国他乡就陷入了一个绝境。
There's no male at home, and there's no relative around, so they were so desperate.
我们经过失去亲人的，我们自己都知道，这个失去亲人就是一个非常格外的痛苦。
And so we all know, if you have ever lose a family member, it's very, very painful.
那么对拿俄米的来说，他不光是失去亲人而已。
And for Naomi, not only she has lost her family members.
因为在那个年代，她失去了丈夫跟儿子，就意味着她失去了生活中所有的依靠。
And so at that time, if you lose your husband and your son, that means you have lost everything that you could depend on.
那个时候，她也没有办法去哪里拿救济，她也没有办法出去工作的。
And there's no way that she can receive welfare or not working.
可以想到拿俄米的苦难是超乎想象。
So we know that her suffering is very difficult.
那么面对拿俄米所面临的这个苦难，那么很多人有没有想办法去解释呢？
So have we tried to explain what Naomi going through?
那么有些解经的人就去来解释说，哦，拿俄米的苦难是因为他们得罪了神。
And so very often they would say the reason Naomi is facing the suffering because she has offended the Lord.
这就是我刚才所提到那种天谴神学的说法。
So that is what we talk about retribution theology.
那么以色列 在伯特利这个地方遭遇饥荒，这个是上帝的惩罚吗？
So was that the famine was caused by the Lord?
经文根本有本没有提及这个饥荒的原因呢、啊、
The verses never explain the reason of the famine.
所以对我们来读圣经的人来说一定要小心，我们不可以随意的来猜测。
So when we study those verses, we have to be very, very careful not to guess.
那么遭遇苦难是因为拿俄米这一家人违背了上帝的命令而受的惩罚吗？
So even Naomi going through the suffering, is that because the punishment from the Lord?
那么有人可以找到两个方面的原因，说这一家人做的违背了神的命令。
And some people say maybe there are two reasons.
那么第一个方面，这个土地啊，乃是上帝赐给以色列人的一个应许。
The first, the land is being given by the Lord to Israel.
所以当他们放弃了家园的时候，离开了以色列这个土地，就等于放弃了应许。
So when they give up their homeland, that means they give up the promise.
那么第六节我们刚才读到说，上帝对饥荒中以色列的百姓的祝福也表明了当初他们出走的时候离开可能不是一个非常明智的之举。
In the verse 2 that indicate that when they leave the hometown and try to escape the famine may not be the wisest decision.
那么第二点，他们做的可能没有符合神的命令的，是因为他娶了摩亚的女子为妻。
And secondly, they might not follow God's command is that their two sons marry Moab's women.
因为在申命记第七章，上帝明令这个借着摩西告诉以色列人，你们不可以娶外邦的女子为妻。
And in Deuteronomy that Moses have instruct that do not marry outside the Israel.
Yeah, 从这两个方面来说，他们是没有按照神的命令去做哈。
For those two reasons, yes, they did not follow God's command.
但是同时，经文也没有告诉我们，拿俄米所遭受的这些苦难的原因，就是因为神给他们的惩罚。
But in the Bible, they did not tell us that is the punishment from the Lord.
所以由此可见，这个天谴神学来解释困难呢，是缺乏圣经的依据。
So if we use the retribution or theology to explain suffering, it's a lack of a Bible support.
所以这是第一种常见的说法。那第二种来解释拿俄米的苦难呢，就是拿俄米自己来看这个事情。
And so that's the first reason to explain the suffering. The second one is from perspective of Naomi.
那么在苦难之中的拿俄米呢，他认为这一切的灾难都是从上帝而来的。
And from perspective of Naomi, she feels that all the suffering is coming from the Lord.
所以他在讲到说第22节他说，因为全能者，20节，因为全能者使我受了大苦。
And so the verse 22 said that for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me.
我满满的从出去，耶和华使我空空的回来。
I went out fully, came home empty.
那么耶和华降祸于我，全能者使我受苦。
So the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me.
所以这里他是用了对称的方式来反复的使用上帝跟全能者的名字。
So she's using comparison and continue uses Almighty and the Lord.
所以这里他就是强调说上帝要对他的苦难负责。
She's emphasizing the Lord that need to be responsible of her affliction.
所以我们可以暂时把这种看法就称为做叫做拿俄米神学哈。
So let's say this is Naomi theology.
那么其实这个在古代近东这个地区啊，他们是非常普遍的一个看法。
And this is very common at that time.
那么任何的灾祸他们都是认为是跟他们的神是有关系。
Any calamity has to do with the God.
那么上帝是不是要对我们所有遭受的苦难负责？
And has the God need to be responsible for all our suffering?
上帝确实会允许苦难的发生，可能甚至会使用苦难。
And God permits suffering, and sometimes maybe using the suffering.
那么这和上帝必须要对苦难负责，这是两个不同的概念。
However, that is very different than that God is responsible for suffering.
其实我们在苦难当中啊，就去寻找说谁要对这个我们受的苦难负责，这个方法本身是对我们面对苦难是没有任何帮助。
So when we're facing the suffering, try to find who's responsible. It's not going to help us.
那以前我在研究生在美国读书的时候，就遇到过类似的情况啊。
And so when I was in a graduate school, I was facing something similar.
因为当时我们用的仪器呢是比较先进的仪器。
And we were using the equipment a lot more advanced.
而且非常复杂。
And it was very complicated.
那么这种色谱跟质谱的连用呢，当时呢是没有这个商业的成品出产的。
And so for using it, we did not have any commercial use. We have not had any product of a commercial use.
那全部的仪器是我们自己来组装啊。
And so we have to assemble those equipment by ourselves.
那这个仪器呢，我们很多的学生啊，还包括这个博士后人，很多人要共同来使用啊。
A lot of students and the postdoc, we all have to use the same equipment.
你知道呢，当这个仪器出问题的时候，就是我们最头痛的时候。
And when the equipment malfunction, we really truly have a headache.
因为你就想要，如果仪器顺利的话，你就很快把实验结果做出来了。
If the equipment function well, and we can have a result quickly.
偏偏到你该做实验的时候，仪器坏了。
But then when we're doing the experiment, the equipment is not working.
于是我们就问，昨天是谁用的仪器啊？
So we have to ask, who used the equipment last?
啊，那谁应该对这个仪器坏了来负责啊？
Who should be responsible for malfunction of the equipment?
所以呢，于是这个彼此之间的关系就照得很紧张哈。
So we have very high tension among us.
那最后我们这个老板呢，他就把大家召集在一起，说哦，我们这样可不行。
So our professor, our boss, get us together and talk about.
他说这个仪器出问题呢，本身这就是一个比较复杂的仪器，是我们自己组装的仪器，它很容易出问题。
And because we assembly this equipment by ourselves, and so probably it's very easily have a malfunction.
所以当遇到仪器出问题，我们这个相互指责呀，不但不能解决问题，而且把我们之间的关系搞得很糟糕了。
And so when we the equipment have a malfunction, we shifting blame. It does not resolve the problem.
就让我们来一起来想想，这个仪器出问题呢，我们怎么样去采取一些措施和方法，防止它出现这样的问题啊
？And so we can have to think about if there's a malfunction, how can we resolve the problem so we can continue to use effectively.
所以呢，我们就在一起商量怎么样制定一个这个SOP， 就是 Standard of Operation 这种标准的操作的程序。
So we come up with a standard of operation.
那么如果你发现有任何的异常状况，怎么样去报告，怎么样去跟其他的人去联系等等。
And so if there's a malfunction, how do we report it? How do we contact other people?
所以这样下来之后，我发现，哎呦。一下子我们对这个仪器啊，大家保护的也很好，然后事情也都很顺利，这个仪器这个出问题的机会一下就少了。
And after that, we have noticed that the errors became much less after we know how to take care of this machine.
所以面对苦难的根本呢，我们是需要，首先是需要反思的。
So when we're facing the suffering, we have to reflect first.
所以马尔米在苦难之中的反思啊，就导致他做出了一个正确的决定。
And so then when Naomi starts to reflect and make her to make a right decision.
这个经文第六节就讲到说，他说我为什么要在这里受苦呢？又无依无靠。
And so the verse 6 talk about that. Why should I be suffering over here? And I have no dependent.
那么他听到说耶和华怎么样祝福他家乡的人。
And she have heard that how God has blessed her hometown.
所以他决定就举家返回应许之地。
She made a decision to return home.
对，这一点啊，值得我们来借鉴哈。
And this is a really worth it for us to learn.
所以苦难之中不是远离神，而是更要亲近神。
And so during the suffering, is not we stay away from God, actually we need to close to God.
对于这场瘟疫所暴露出来的问题啊，绝对不是这种简单的谁来买单就可以解决的问题。
So the issue exposed from the pandemic is not who is responsible that simple.
纵观我们现在这个政治领袖这种踢皮球式的这种手段，我们也可以看出这个于事无补。
So we look the world, all the political leaders, they're passing the buck, so we can predict even after pandemic, we will go our own way.
那么可以预测的是，在疫情过了之后，人类会不会反思这个瘟疫带给我们的一些个提醒，我们来真正的来悔改。
And so when after pandemic, are we able to reflect to see what we can learn from this experience and how we can look at ourselves and then willing to confess and to know what we have done wrong.
那么中国有一位持不同政见者，他的名字叫艾薇薇。
And there's a Chinese activist, his name is 艾薇薇。
那他是以前中国一个著名作家的艾青的儿子啊。
And he's a very famous the writer's son, 艾青。
那么他认为中国不会吸取这个教训。
He felt that China would never learn the lesson.
其实世界各国大概也是一样。
In matter of fact, all the countries are the same.
就是人类对自然资源这种裸掠性的开发是因为利益所驱使。
And this all started with immense predatory exploitation of natural resources and it's all want to benefit themselves.
所以这个不会简单的因为这个瘟疫他们会有根本性的改变。
So I don't think that will change even after pandemic is over.
所以这必然也会导致一个灾难性的后果。
That will be a disaster consequence.
所以这是第一点，我们在危难之中啊，面对苦难，我们要需要反思的哈。
So the most important thing is number one is we need to reflect during suffering.
那么第二方面，面对苦难的时候，我们应该看到恩典。
And secondly, when we facing the suffering, do we see grace?
所以当上帝允许苦难临到的时候，他也给我们预备了恩典。
When God actually allowed the suffering, and but also He has prepared enough grace for us to face it.
给我们足够的力量来面对苦难。
Help us to have enough strength to facing the suffering.
苦难之中啊，我们有的时候只是看到了那个苦难，我们忘记了祝福。
And very often we only see the suffering and forgot the blessing.
其实上帝的恩典更多。
But God's grace is abundant and a lot more.
所以当拿俄米抱怨的时候说，我满满的出去，空空的回来。
When Naomi complained, I went out full, came back empty.
满满的是指什么呢？
What does that mean, went out full?
满满的时候是指他离开的时候，他有丈夫，有儿子，生活有依靠。
When she went out full means that she had a husband and two sons that she could depend on.
那么他说空空的回来又是指什么呢？
What did she mean by came home empty?
因为他既没有儿子，也没有丈夫，而且没有后世，他没有了生活的依靠。
She lost her husband and two sons.And they have no offsprings.
这是我们平常我们怎么来看待苦难的啊。
That's how we look at the suffering.
苦难中我们看到我们失去了哪些东西。
During the suffering, it's very easy for us to see what we have lost.
我们就想，我如果重新拥有那些东西应该是多好。
Would that be wonderful if we regain all those things that we had before?
但是上帝让那些东西离开了我们之后，他会把更好的给我们。
But often God let those things happen that will give us more and better.
因为像拿俄米，他就忘记了，他回来的时候不是空空，还有一个人陪他回来。
And she forgot that she came home not empty because she had another person with her.
她忘记了，路德就是她的安慰。
She totally forgot Ruth was her comfort.
但是在她的想法里面，没有办法想到路德会算数的。
And she never really count Ruth as her worth anything.
因为在当时文化中，妇女是没有办法出去工作，没有办法独立生活的。
And at that time, women cannot work independently, and you cannot depend them to make a living.
而且这还是一个摩押的，是个外邦人的女子。
And Ruth was a Moabite woman.
她没有想到说这个会是她的祝福。
And Ruth never thought about that. Naomi never thought about Ruth will be her blessing.
这个就是神的奇妙。
But this is how God is so wonderful.
那么我们随着我们不断的去研读这个故事，我们就最后看到说，奇妙就是上帝借着路德是如何的祝福拿俄米。
And God has using the Ruth to bless Naomi.
这个是超过他所思所想。
And it's beyond her comprehension.
啊，以前有一个年轻人呢，他不大学好啊。
And there was one young man that was not very did not behave very well.
所以他的母亲呢，非常的伤痛。
And his mother was very hurt.
因为他常常找了一些狐朋狗友去做一些非法的事情。
And very often he hung out with wrong people to do something illegal.
为他妈妈常常在神面前为他的儿子祷告。
So his mother very often to pray before the Lord.
但是似乎好像神没有垂听祷告一样，事情都没有改变。
But for some reason, the Lord did not seem to listen her prayer. Nothing has happened.
结果有一天，这个年轻人呢，跟他的朋友出去飙车哈。
And one day that the young man went out with his friend have a car race.
那么在这个飙车的过程当中呢，他的车子就出了车祸。
And during the car race, that his car had a car accident.
结果他就失去了双脚。
He lost both his legs.
所以他变成了一个残废人。
He became handicapped.
所以这个做母亲的心，你可想象是何等的伤痛。
You can imagine how sad his mother was.
因为他一直在祷告求神说怎么样去挽救他的儿子。
And she has been praying and to the Lord how to save her son.
但是结果他的儿子却遭遇了这样的灾害。
But rather that her son actually facing such a disaster, lost his two legs.
但是过了一段时间呢，哎，这个事情就开始有了变化。
After a while, things has been changing.
因为呢，他以前常常出去跟这些朋友混在一起。
And in the past,He has hung out with the wrong people.
那现在他没有双脚了，行动不方便了，那些朋友渐渐都不来找他了。
So after he lost his two legs, his friends left him.
那么他就也自己也困在家里啊，他也没有办法到处跑啊。
He was trapped at home. He couldn't go anywhere.
那这个时候啊，能够真正来到他这家里面给他来关心他的是一些基督徒。
And the people who actually really care about him were Christians.
那么基督徒来跟他分享福音啊。
And the Christians start sharing the gospel with him.
那结果他就信了主，成了一个基督徒。
He accepted the Lord, became a Christian.
那虽然他两脚失去，他坐在轮椅上行动很不方便。
Even though he lost his two legs, sitting in the wheelchair and not convenient.
但是他还有两只手可以做事啊。
However, he has two hands.
所以他就利用他很多这空闲的时间，他就学习怎么样做一种叫玻璃的艺术品啊。
And so he used his two hands to make art from the like a glasses.
所以他就把这个玻璃也吹成这种各种各种不同形状的艺术品。
He used the glasses to blow and to make art.
那若干年之后，他就成为这方面的一个非常有造诣的一个艺术家。
Then he became a very famous artist.
所以苦难之中，我们要看到说神有恩典。
And during the during the suffering, we need to see there's a grace from the Lord.
所以拿俄米的经历啊，就告诉我们，我们是属于神的人，同样会面对苦难啊。
And so Naomi's experience, even though we belong to the Lord, we belong to the Lord.
那么面对这场瘟疫的来说，我们很多人都会遇到各种各样的难题。
And so facing the pandemic, we're facing a lot of difficulties.
那么可能这个难题呢，并不会随着疫情的过后而会消失，有些可能会更严重。
And even a pandemic is over, those difficulties may not disappear. It might become even more severe.
可能有些人会失去工作。
And many might lose their job.
可能有些人会失去他们的房子。
And many people might lose their house.
那更糟糕的是有很多的家庭我们也知道他们会失去自己的亲人。
Worst of all, many people will lose their loved ones.
那么甚至他们失去亲人的时候，当亲人过世，他们没有办法在身边陪伴他们。
Even they are losing their loved ones, sometimes they cannot even see their loved ones.
所以当面对苦难的时候，我们通过拿俄米的经历可以学到，我们不是抱怨。
And so through Naomi's suffering, what we learn is not complaining.
我们也不是推卸责任。
And not shifting the blame.
乃是要信靠上帝。
And it's trusting the Lord.
因为他是我们苦难中唯一的出路和帮助。
He's the only way and the only help during the suffering.
所以那些人认为说我们一旦遇到苦难都是上帝给我们的惩罚。
And for some people said when we're facing the suffering, it's a punishment from God.
那你的上帝也是太小气了。
And but your Lord is too stingy.
那么那些认为上帝要对我们遭受的一切苦难负责的人，他们忘记了我们生活在一个怎么样的世界里。
For those people who blame God for all the suffering, they forgot what kind of world we're living in.
这个当我们出生来到这个世界，我们就等于欠了一个合同一样，这是必然要会发生。
And when we came to this world, we almost signed a contract. Suffering is inevitable.
那么拿俄米的经历来提醒我们说，我们在苦难之中应该反省。
And during the Naomi's experience that teach us,when we're facing the suffering, we need to reflect.
我们不是远离神，乃是要亲近神。
We will not stay away from the Lord. We need to get closer to the Lord.
在苦难之中，我们看到恩典。
And during the suffering, we see grace.
因为在苦难之中，上帝他赐安慰。
And because through suffering, God provides the comfort.
那么在苦难之中，上帝他赐帮助。
And during the suffering, he provides help.
那么上帝最终的目标乃是要祝福我们。
The ultimate goal from the Lord is blessing.
那么以前呢，有一个船主啊，他就租了船，他准备做一个大笔的生意啊。
And there was a captain of the ship want to do some business.
那么他做的生意呢，他就打算贩卖一些棒。这个运到一个地方去啊。
And he wants to sell some shells, to some of the places.
所以他租了船，买了货，又雇了人，于是整个船队就出发了。
And he hired people and ready to go.
那么结果在海上他们遇到风暴啊。
And then he was facing a storm.
那么风暴呢把整个的船呢几乎要沉没啊。
And the storm was so severe, almost the over of the ship.
那最后他们没有办法，这个船呢就停在一个孤岛上面啊。
And so they actually landed in an isolated island.
船已经损坏，没有办法继续前行。
And because the ship was wrecked, were not able to continue.
因为当时天气非常的炎热。
And at that time, the weather was so hot.
那么他们这个所运的这个海货很快就要腐烂发臭。
And those sea shells was going to be rotted and start smelling bad.
这个船主一看说完了，这一下他是血本无归啊。
And so the captain said, oh my goodness, that I'm going to lose all the money.
干脆我就自杀得了。
So I'm going to kill myself.
他准备就跳下悬崖就要自杀哈。
He was going to jump from the cliff.
所以他的船员呢就把他拦住了哈。
But his shipman actually stopped him.
他说虽然我们受了很大的经济的损失啊。
And even though we had to suffer a great economic loss.
但毕竟我们这命还在哈，我们没有一个人死亡，也没有一个人受伤，我们还活着嘛。
But then we are alive still here. We're still here.
也只要我们活着，我们就应该有希望。
As long we live, then we have hope.
那么这些船员把他劝下来之后呢，他就就安息，就算了，不自杀了，他决定改变主意哈。
So that the captain changed his mind after his shipman stopped him.
但是他的难处却没有改变哈。
But his difficulty never left him.
所以第二天早上，当他很早起来的时候哈，这个船员们还都在睡觉。
And next day when he got up very early and his shipman still sleeping.
结果呢，就船员就听见他突然间大喊大叫哈。
All of a sudden people heard him was screaming.
那原先是什么样呢？他在这个蚌里面呢，发现了有珍珠啊。
And then the captain actually found pearls inside those shells.
那这个珍珠可不是我们现在的珍珠，我们现在看到很多都是人工饲养的珍珠，很便宜的。
And those pearls are not the same as what we see now, because what we see usually is a cultural pearl, is much cheaper.
也这种自然的，又是质量很好的那种，每一个都是价值连城啊。
And so the natural one, the pearl actually is extremely expensive.
都赶快他就叫了这个船员来帮助他去把每一个那腐烂的那个蚌啊都剥开，看看里面有没有珍珠啊。
And so he asked the shipman to actually open each shell to see if there's any pearl inside.
结果他们一起发现了有几十颗。那种非常宝贵的珍珠啊。
They have found so many precious pearls inside.
不但完全可以抵消他的损失，我想他肯定还要大赚一笔啊。
And not only will pay for his loss, also he's going to make a lot of money.
所以弟兄姐妹，我们在这个世界上最宝贵的珍珠就是我们的主耶稣基督。
And dear brother and sister, what is our the most precious pearl?It is our Lord Jesus Christ.
所以在这次疫情当中，我们可能会遇到各种各样不同的困难。
In the midst of a pandemic, we're going to be facing a lot of difficulties.
但是神在我们的生命当中有恩典。
But God has a grace in our life.
如果这个机会，这个经历可以让我们更加的亲近神，我们更加得到耶稣基督的恩典跟福气的话。
If through this experience we get closer to the Lord and to receive His grace and blessing,
那么我们就比这个船主获得的珍珠来得更宝贵。
That will be more precious than the captain that who gained or who found all those pearls.
感谢主，让我们一起来低头祷告。
And thanks the Lord, let's pray together.
天父上帝，我们感谢你的恩典。
Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your grace.
因为你是赐恩典的神。
You have given us the blessing.
你不是降灾的神，因为你是要定义祝福的我们。
You want to give us, you do not want to harm us, you want to bless us.
世界上虽有苦难，但是主，你在你有喜乐，在你有平安。
Although there's a lot of suffering, but in you we have a peace and joy.
主，你是我们的避难所，你是我们依靠的磐石。
And you are our rock.
你必会供应我们一切的需要。
You will provide everything we need.
当世界这种天翻地覆的时候，愿我们的心和我们的眼睛都定睛在你的上面。
When this world is upside down, let's continue to focus on you.
主，你是我们的盼望，你是我们最宝贵的依靠。
Because you are our hope, the most precious rock.
我们感谢主，你赐福我们。
And thank you for blessing us.
我们也求主你保守我们每个人在疫情当中的平安。
Continue to give us peace during pandemic.
让我们所得到的比我们所损失的更多。
We gain a lot more than what we have lost.
让我们珍惜主你在我们生命中奇妙的工作。
And let's treasure what a wonderful work that you have given to us in our life.
我们这样的祈求祷告奉靠耶稣基督名求。
We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.